Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Everyone knows I'm one of my bestest pals on the planet and a true warrior for God and country and justice. And she is down there on the border, on the front lines, because that's the way she does it. Thank you for joining me, Ann Vandersteel.
Mel, thank you. Always good to see you. And yes, gosh, we go back a few years and we've seen some stuff, haven't we now?
Yeah, and it doesn't end. It doesn't stop. But the truth is that, thank God, you're like a sister and we are very, very close friends in real life and really support each other. And I could not be more proud of you, what you are doing right now. I wanted to share it with my audience. You have done this before. You have been down to the border many times before people even realized what was really going on there. And you and the great Michael Yon, who's been on the show as well, are down there right now doing an operation, doing what the people, what the citizens need to be doing. So please tell my audience a little bit about why you are down at the border and what you guys are doing.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Well, clearly we have Trojan horses coming into the country right now. This regime in power, the as I call him, the pedophile on Pennsylvania Avenue, Joe Biden and his crackhead son, are puppets for the globalists. And you have broken down the globalists ad nauseam, Mel, so we don't need to go there. But they are basically enforcing the open border policies that the World Economic Forum needs in order to destroy the United States from within. And the Trojan horses coming in are all the people that these non-governmental organizations have basically financed up here. Whether they walked or they were bused, most of the people I can tell you are coming across the Rio Grande River here in Texas that are being bused over up into the Rio Grande and then shuttled across. And interestingly enough, Customs and Border Protection Services or agency are funneling these migrants into very specific areas where they have makeshift welcome stations ready to assimilate these people, process them. And in addition to CBP, we also have Catholic Charities, which, as most of your audience probably knows, works hand in glove with trafficking children all over the world. So it is really just, you know, it's more of the same down here. But when you're in it and you drive, Mel, when I arrived down here in my RV, which is what I'm in right now, because I'm traveling from Texas to California in this RV with Michael Yon and some other folks. When you travel along the border, Mel, and you see the abject poverty of Americans living on the border, and you look across the Rio Grande, and Mexico looks like a first world nation compared to us, it becomes so evident what this migration, this illegal migration, has done to our country just here along border towns. Cartels run everything down here. In fact, now we know the CBP One app, which is the app that migrants are using to make appointments, has been hacked by the cartel. So the cartel is now making appointments on behalf of 190 countries to facilitate trafficking right into this country so they can keep Customs and Border Protection services overwhelmed while they smuggle in drug smugglers, human trafficking, and, you know, worse, weapons of mass destruction. And this is what even Christy Hutcherson has uncovered with some of the tunnels she's found, is that they're fully operational. It took the United States government to help build out these tunnels between Mexico and the U.S. And, you know, what is really going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. The destruction of our country, the destruction of the Republic. So again, traveling along the border, seeing the abject poverty, heartbreaking. But what's worse is when you run into over and over again, Catholic charities who are taking the position of authority in our own federal and state parklands, telling us we can't be there, calling the police on us because they say we're trespassing. How are we trespassing on federal and public property? How is it that the police and law enforcement, local as well as sheriff, will listen to the rent-a-cops from Catholic charities telling us that we need to get off and telling us that they will arrest us if we stay on the property much further? Meanwhile, members of our team break off in the dark of night and witness the migrants coming in, young military-age men, each one with their own small child in tow, either on their shoulders or in their hands or in their arms, smuggling them in. And are you ready for the punchline, Mel? Besides Catholic charities being there to protect that operation on the receiving end as well as the processing end, Customs and Border Protection are in the van with them as they drive along the levee to help show these people where to walk about a half mile to the final processing center. So, you know, Abbott's policies down here are horrendous. I don't care what he says about how great a job he's doing in Texas being the eighth largest economy in the world. I listened to him speak about it yesterday up close and personal at an event here in McAllen. I don't care about any of that, because the fact of the matter is, a mile and a half from where he was speaking, there is abject poverty and there is illegal immigration happening right there under his nose, and he does nothing to address it. And just like during COVID, when they shut the border, they could shut it right now, and they don't. Instead, Customs and Border Protection are deflecting, and other agencies like the Texas Wildlife Parks and Rangers guys are down here, and game wardens are down here to help shuttle the migrants into the Customs and Border Protection processing centers. It is horrific how the government agencies are facilitating human trafficking right here in broad daylight even.
Yeah. And what's really, really sad as well, and as we know, the controlled media is acting as if it's not happening. When it became not front page news and people weren't down there shining a light on it, they act like it doesn't exist. And apparently it's worse than ever. And we have, you know, I just fled New York because it became untenable to live there. But now they're talking about $12 billion. They're building tent cities. They're like scouting out Central Park to put a tent city, you know, and as we talked about a long time ago, both me and you and Victor Avila has talked about it many times. It's not a border issue. It is an interior issue, because what you are seeing and you are witnessing down there is they come across the border at specific places. Now, it does appear that they are being flown or bused to the border, which is expensive because, like you're saying, they're not coming from Mexico. So this journey is expensive and long, and that they're coming from overseas. So what are you seeing? Are you seeing that there are specific places that they have to be, it has to be organized? This isn't people just running across wherever they find it. They actually know where to go.
That's right. So it all starts down at the Darien Gap in Panama. Michael Yon has done some world-class, top-notch, probably the most, he's a leading authority on the Darien Gap, frankly, on what's going on in terms of the organized illegal migration to push these people from all over the world into the United States. That actually resides down in Panama. And that's a very dangerous, about 60 miles of very dangerous territory to traverse. And these people are having to make their way through the Darien Gap. And if they survive that, if they're not killed by the natives, or they're not killed by snakes or bugs or just some sort of disease, of which they're carrying dengue virus, dengue fever, they're carrying malaria, they're carrying tuberculosis, and other terrible diseases, they're, if they survive that, when they get to the other side of the gap, that's where a lot of these folks, whether they're from Honduras, I'm sorry, not Honduras, whether they're from Venezuela or other countries that have been processed and made it through, they're being bussed up to the border. Right. It's a lot easier that way. We're seeing a lot of El Salvadorans, Hondurans, Guatemalans that are also being picked up because those people make wonderful victims for sex trafficking or forced labor. And yesterday right. We came across just right out, I mean, a couple of miles from where I'm sitting right now on an RV park, a border protection had, was there collecting migrants, 90% women and children, and mostly children. So the Catholic Charities using ISS Action, which is the subcontractor of DHS, there to pick them up in these big white buses and shuttle them for processing. It is just so heartbreaking, Mel, to witness this day after day around here. And again, the people that live here along the Rio Grande Valley, the RGV, they're used to this. The cartel has been here for a really long time. In fact, most of the really, you know, wealthy cartel members, they live over here on the U.S. side. They live in beautiful homes. And the rest of the people, American citizens, live in squalor. And they're stretching it out for nickels and pennies. Big box stores are everywhere. COVID wiped out most of the mom and pop businesses in the area. And again, Governor Abbott comes down and talks about how tax receipts are up, you know, 5 to 7% because businesses are doing so well. I'm like, really? How can you talk about that when you have what is happening right, you know, going on right here under your nose? But Mel, the worst part about all this, on top of the loss of just human dignity, is the fact that these people are bringing multi-drug resistant forms of tuberculosis into the country. We've met with Dr. Michael Vickers a couple of times, once on the phone and once in person earlier last week. And he explained that the multi-drug resistant TB that's coming in is not only infecting the migrants, but it's being shifted into the migrant children in these schools here in the States, which are also impacting other children, including children of CBB agents. But worse, it's zoonotic. So it's transferring over to the cattle and dairy industry, which is impacting tens of thousands of herds of cattle that have to be slaughtered. And Texas right now is at the risk of losing its TB3 status, which if it loses that, it will not be able to export meat. So,
that's what they want, right? That's what they want. Now, let me ask you, there's a lot of ranchers down there, ranchers on that border that are up in arms, but they're also because what's going on now is they're criminalizing people protecting their own ranches and their own property. And it seems to be a big problem. Have you come across any ranchers down there that are, you know, on the edge and don't know what to do? And it's an influx on their own properties?
It's massive down here. In fact, we sat down and met with somebody who would prefer to stay anonymous, but let's just say he's a very big vegetable producer in the area, feeds a lot of our major stores all over the country. And not only has he been negatively impacted by this, the H-2A visa policy, but also the immigration policy, but also the fact that they're trying to basically asphalt and pave over his ranch. And he has to, you know, basically scraps. He lives on, you know, less than 3% profit on his crops. Thank God it's a volume proposition for him. Otherwise, he would have gone out of business. It's a family business for multi-generations. His family came over here and immigrated this country several hundred years ago. So this has been something that has been, you know, passed down generationally in his family. And he's up against competing against the federal government. Why? Because Mexico not only is stealing the water out of the Rio Grande when they're not supposed to be, we have a treaty that says you can't do that, but they are. It is drying up a lot of the crops over here. And the Mexicans are actually saying, hey, we need help, you know, packaging our crops. So they look at these ranchers over here who have full scale packaging facilities who don't have the crops now because the water is a problem, to then have them package their crops so that the Mexican produce can be sold in the Americas as opposed to American produce. So they're, you know, because of the policies, we're now competing against our federal government and the Mexican government to actually keep and be sustainable. The whole thing is just so bizarre. But here's the worst part. Yesterday at this meeting with Abbott, Michael Yon was speaking with the mayor of McAllen, Texas. You cannot make this up. The mayor of McAllen, Texas, and we have him on a hot mic talking about how he was super excited that he was paving over farm after farm. And he was thrilled he was able to pave over these farms and turn them into retail propositions for the city tax revenue. How do you expect to feed America when you start paving over farms that produce, you know, unimaginable amounts of food for the country? It's insane what they're doing.
Yeah, that's so disturbing. Then the other thing is that Donald Trump was trying to build a wall, and the wall, they didn't want to give $5 billion for the wall. They'll give $100 billion to Ukraine and for their protection, but not for our own. Are you seeing any remnants of the wall, or is it gone? What's going on down there?
Yeah, the wall is still in pieces down here. It's sort of a interesting situation with the wall. You have Bush era wall, then you have chain link fence, then you have Trump era wall, but you have a lot of holes in the wall. Right. So ostensibly, there really is no wall here. It's kind of a joke. It's kind of a farce. And again, they're not doing anything to curb the flow of migration. So wall or no wall, they're going to figure out a way to get these people here because there is a policy to make sure that people are coming across. And the part that, again, I say is so disturbing is you have other federal and Texas agencies that are facilitating the migrants to make sure that flow comes in through certain areas where Customs and Border Protection have receiving stations for these people so they can start to process them. Believe me, at night, if you're out on the border, you can see drones flying over the border and they're spotting where these migrant flows are and they're radioing ahead to CBP and to ISS to send a bus, drive the trucks over, turn your lights on, get a table out, start processing. It is a well-oiled machine, Mel, and we've actually followed buses at night. We followed border protection trucks at night just to see where they're going. And every time we see a drone, we just fly, we just drive straight to where the drone was last seen. And sure enough, there'll be a makeshift border protection receiving station there. It's so prevalent that the border stray dogs show up at these receiving stations because they know they're going to get fed. CBP has food for the migrants and water for the migrants. It is that well and that well-oiled of a machine down here. It's incredible.
It is disgusting. And it's not. And, you know, these people that say it's humanitarian, these people aren't running from war-torn countries. They're not coming here seeking asylum. And what I heard, I talked to a whistleblower that helps or is hired by these NGOs to he's come out now to discuss it, but to accompany these unaccompanied minors into the interior on buses and trains out of where you are right now, basically. And what he's saying is that they when they come in, that they turn it over so fast. So that makes a lot of sense that the drones find them, they come, they want to get them on those buses and to those planes as fast as possible to take them all over this country. What he also was saying, and I know that you found this, is that they're from all over the world. And there's been a big influx from China and all over Asia, but China especially. And there have been a few images that have come out of armed people coming across the border. So tell me a little bit about what you've seen in terms of foreign nationals from adversary nations, not just from South America or Mexico, but elsewhere.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Oh, yeah, the Iranians are here. They all, oh, you know, at one point they had Venezuelan passports because the Iranian ambassador to Iran was giving the Iranians that wanted to make their way to the United States for nefarious purposes, more than likely, a Venezuelan passport. So at one point, Panama still today has 1 in 10 Panamanians actually has a Venezuelan passport. And this is how many Iranians are actually coming in right now, Mel, because they are just giving a rubber stamp in Venezuela. Here's your passport. You can use it to tell people you're Venezuelan because, if you know, they look somewhat similar, right? And right, the skin color and so forth. So hard to tell until you start speaking to them and you realize they don't speak Spanish. So it's right, that's kind of the wow, dead, right? But again, some of these same people are the same ones that you're seeing carrying what we call these recyclable children. These are the children that are used over and over again to basically give the less desirable migrants a pathway to into this country. So you have a lot of fighting age men that definitely are not Venezuelan that are coming in with these children, and they are done in the dark of night. Catholic Charities, again, facilitating this to get these men in the country. And then the children are separated by Catholic Charities and they're recycled back to where they came from on the other side of the border so they can do it over and over and over again. This is all part, that's human trafficking right there. Not only of bad people into our country, but using these children to allow these men safe passage and to look like there's some sort of, you know, adult accompanying a minor. What we've witnessed ourselves in some of these situations one night in Roma, Texas, were children that were limp in the arms of men. And these men, when approached, we asked them for birth date, names, you know, where they're from. They just thrust the paperwork at us and said, it's all on the paperwork. Not like, this is my son, get away, my daughter, stop. No, it's on the paperwork. This is so clear and such clear evidence of human trafficking and human smuggling and basically using these children so that these men, all at fighting age male, fighting age males, could actually get their way in the country. We're going to see this over and over. And where we are right now is pseudo dangerous. But where we're going, it gets a lot more dangerous because it's a lot less populated in the cartel, like in Fronton, which is a few hours west of here, much more dangerous. And you get to Laredo and El Paso. Laredo, you've got open wars going on between cartels fighting over there. And then we'll catch up with Nino and others in El Paso and by next week. So it's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hats off to you and Michael Yon and your whole team down there that is going across the entire border and covering this and showing people what's going on. Because, I mean, our media is silent. Mayorkas and Biden and Garland and all these people, they clearly are not working for we the people of the United States, but let alone they don't care about these people at the border, especially these children. What the whistleblower told me yesterday is that they're splitting up siblings and they're keeping one sibling on the other side of the border, sending a sibling over, as you're saying, with a male that's like a relative or not. And but also telling that kid that if they do anything wrong or they don't comply or whatever, they cause any kind of problems, that they'll never see their sibling again. And they're holding those siblings back. And it's just heartbreaking. And I'm hearing also there's a lot of sexual assault, even among the kids that are down there, and that they're just processing them and sending them out. And it just sounds horrific. Now, one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Last time Michael Yon was on and Todd Benzman also came on and talked about it. They're building, actually, in Texas, outside of Houston, I know, but elsewhere, they're building permanent housing for illegals that are kind of segregating them. So this isn't a situation where these people are coming to America to become Americans. And it appears that the Biden regime, and it looks like with contractors, because we have Project Veritas as a contractor saying that they've made billions of dollars with these contractors at the border, that they're building these kind of segregated communities for different types of different places. There's one that was like Mandarin and a school and all this and all that. Do you know anything about these communities that they're building?
Yeah, Mel, we flew over them when we got to Houston a week and a half ago. We flew over the Colonia. We call it Abbott City, hashtag Abbott City, because again, Abbott got paid $1.4 million by the developer of this land, Trey Harris, who's had this land for years. And he's subdivided this into parcels that have been owned and turned over by migrants who buy parcels in there, put a trailer on there. You'll see trailers that are just dilapidated, no air conditioning, MS-13, graffiti on there, et cetera. And then every so often you'll see a nice house. That must be the boss's house, because that's kind of how it is. But this migrant community will be home to 200,000 illegal aliens living in it. At some point in the future, it is that big. It's massive. If you fly over, estimated about 35, 40 square miles, it's pretty, pretty big. And what I find utterly appalling, besides the conditions in which these people are living, in addition to the fact that, you know, this is a separated area, is that they are building beautiful schools for these families to have their kids attend, which are far nicer than the schools you and I attended. Far nicer. Right. They're state of the art.
Not paying for this. This is all being subsidized. So, but then the other thing that you're talking about, which is really important, is that they're segregating these groups that are not American citizens, and they don't want to be American citizens. So again, right. Then we have the whole situation coming up with all these people still talking about amnesty. I've been warning people that the NGOs that are all connected to all the color revolutions all over the world, that we're paying for BLM, we're paying for, you know, the Women's March, LGBTQ violence, Antifa, are now encouraging these illegals, sending them text messages with hashtag demand citizenship, saying, are you getting what you thought you deserved? Because what I was told also by the last guy that we had on, the whistleblower, is that they're hostile. Well, that in the beginning, when he was working aid and to help the unaccompanied minors at the border before, especially under Trump, that the kids were coming across, a lot of them were damaged or whatever, but that they were grateful to be helped, that they were polite, that they were, you know, really in need, and that they were able to be worked with. He said that the ones that are coming across now, the minors, but everyone, but especially the minors, that they're coming across entitled, and that they're coming across having been somehow, somebody's paying for lawyers that sit with these kids in these NGO intake centers and kind of give them the rules to go by and kind of say, if anyone tells you to do anything you don't want to do, if anyone does this or that, you know, tell them that you will talk to your lawyer. So they're emboldening kids, especially kids between like 13 and 17, to be hostile to the people on our side of the border, is what I'm hearing. Do you see that at all?
There's clear evidence of the disparity between those that are coached and those that aren't. Those that are coached are doing exactly what you're describing, Mel. You can see the arrogance, the attitude, their sense of self-entitlement. They walk in front of you with total immunity. There's nothing we can do. And frankly, there is nothing we can do right now because the regime in power is setting the policy. But then those that are going to be trafficked or put into forced labor or worse, right? Those are the ones you can see the fear in their eyes. They are being they look so scared that they don't know, you know, they got here, but they are still being held like captives. And you see the Customs and Border Protection agents downtown McAllen outside Catholic Charities walking up and down the street as they're all lined up against the wall, mostly young adults and children, little children, babies. And these are like big men in their border protection outfits going back and forth. And then you have the Catholic Charities security guard standing at the head, hands on hips, mask on, wearing all black, looking extremely menacing. And I look at them, I'm going, and these CPB agents, you know, and I'm going to single these three out. I'm not going to, you know, because these three were, you know, bro hugging, high fiving, glad, you know, it was a very odd behavior to be exhibited in front of these people who were clearly frightened. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And they're looking like they're excited about the fact they've got them lined up against the wall. Now, I will say this. I spoke to many Customs and Border Protection agents, Texas game warden agents, sheriffs, other law enforcement, local, that are horrified about what's happening right now. The Texas National Guard, I've spoke to a lot. They can't stand the Biden regime. They think it's disgusting. But, you know, they say we're just following orders. And you know how that ended 50 years ago. Or 70 years ago. So this is... Unfortunately, this is what we're dealing with, Mel. People are, their jobs are at stake. They have families. They need to put food on the table, and they're being pushed into a position. And I asked this question yesterday. You know, we all saw Sound of Freedom. Many of your audience did, I'm sure. People understand what that's about. We're sitting here talking about human trafficking. I'm witnessing it in real time. If the American people aren't rising up and getting just absolutely outraged over this and wanting to do something about it, as I said yesterday, you know what they're going to wait for? When the banks finally collapse, and like Trump, who used the wallet, the power of the purse to bring world peace, that's when the Americans are going to get pissed off enough to finally say, we got to get rid of this government because they've now destroyed our entire financial livelihoods. And people, unfortunately, bow down to the almighty dollar. Babylon has to fall completely before people are going to wake up.
Yeah, it's so disgusting and so disturbing. And then to know how much money we're sending to Ukraine while our borders wide open and there is nothing humanitarian about what's going on down there. These people are not asylum seekers. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Empower their own countries. And we just had, you know, the Ecuadorian guy assassinated. And, you know, there's a lot of problems in all of these countries where these people are coming from. And they are getting more and more hostile towards the policy, especially foreign policy of the United States, but more importantly, the globalist foreign policy of the IMF and other places that have caused a lot of this, the lie of the developing nations. They've been not developing for, you know, decades now. And I hear the UN's down there at the border too. And so, of course, and so is Open Society and all of these. So it's multiple things. And multiple NGOs that should be held accountable. But on the other side of this, you know, we are going to expose all we can and hold these people accountable. But right now, there are very few people doing what you are doing. You are an incredibly brave warrior, a hero of mine and many out there. So what do you want the people to do? What do you want them to know? How can they assist you? How can they get involved? What are some suggestions? People have to take this personally. I keep saying, take what is happening to your country personally. It's by the people, for the people. These people do not have authority over you. You have individual liberty, individual sovereignty. Every person should be taking what's happening to this country personally, right, and acting. So tell me what people should do, can do. What do you think?
Okay, so frankly, you know, it starts local. The folks in your at home, go to your local county commission meetings. We just had a big win in one of our county commission meetings where they were trying to put a 15-minute city, which would have housed a lot of these illegals because they wanted to put low-income housing there. And we're already seeing in Jupiter, Florida, of all places, illegal immigrants that are sleeping on park benches, wandering around in areas. We've never seen this kind of traffic before. There's nowhere for them to live, but they're there and they're showing up. So if you don't get involved locally and start using your eyes and looking around your neighborhood and going, I don't recognize these people, and they certainly look like they don't belong here. How on earth are they going to have the means to live in your particular community without causing crime to escalate, skyrocket? They need to take it personally, like you said, Mel, and start going to these county commission meetings and pushing back and saying, no, Governor Abbott is busing these people out of here to the far corners of the country, which is also helping fulfill his World Economic Forum, as he was also, you know, has spoken over there and gone to meetings over there. He is fulfilling that agenda. I know it looks like on the surface he's, you know, really getting it, socking it to the Democrats by dumping a bunch of illegals in New York and Chicago and wherever. But at the same token, I just told you these illegals are carrying tuberculosis, drug-resistant strains of tuberculosis, malaria, dengue virus, yellow fever, all this stuff, dengue fever. If they're pushing that into the heart of the country, you're bringing pandemic into the heart of the country as well. He's not doing anybody any favors by doing that. Yeah, it pisses people off. It makes great news and outrage headlines. But again, it's hurting the communities in which these people are there, because it's not just Democrats that live there, Mel. It's Republicans, other people. And, it, you know, again, it's not a partisan thing at this point. It's about just trying to preserve the sovereignty of the U.S., but it starts locally. So people have to get engaged locally and just say no and start to pass ordinances and resolutions to just say no. And as far as how they can help us, we're out here self-funding. This is not an inexpensive operation. I've never taken on a project like this before at this level and at this cost. So I have a GiveSendGo up that's supporting the work that Mike and I are doing. If people want to help us, that would be awesome. They go to GiveSendGo.com/burningedge. Any support is appreciated.
Okay, great. Burning Edge. And yeah, it's really important, you know, and you are responsible to get in touch with your local representative, whoever was voted or not voted for in your community that's involved in this, because it's all over the country. The kids down there, they are being trafficked and they are coming to a town near you. If you see that, you call the local sheriff, you call the local task force. They're all over this country, but they are shipping these children all over, because we know in New York, they are coming through the Port Authority. They are coming through the airports and white planes and elsewhere, and they're being put on buses and they are being driven all over this nation. I know that firsthand from New York. You know it's going on everywhere. And on top of that, for what you just said just now, look at the schedules of your local and state government, your senators, your congresspeople, your mayors, because what I am hearing is that these people through the World Economic Forum and other groups, UN and our own government, have a lot of events coming up in London, in Switzerland, in conferences all over, mayor conferences, secretary of state conferences. I was just told that these two congressmen that reached out to said that after they come back from an event in London, So there's all these groups where our elected officials are going to these globalist meetings that they're getting flown to and paid for and all of that. And they're saying, we'll deal with the border, or we'll deal with the financial crisis, or we'll deal with the central bank digital currency when we get back. Well, that is not okay. And you are responsible to oversee people that you hired to work for you in this nation. And that is our government. So thank you so much, Ann Vandersteel. When you get back, well, I'm going to see you in Las Vegas. Thank God. I miss you very much. And then we are actually going to get more involved at the border. So again, just tell everyone where to go support you and the Give, Send, Go with you and Michael Yon down there.
GiveSendGo.com/burningedge. Any amount is appreciated. Truly, really appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, but you never give up, you never stop, and you are one of the fiercest fighters for this country, for freedom, for our children, and our future.
As are you.
Thank you, my sweet friend. Stay safe, say hello to Michael, and I'll see you both soon.
All right, love you, Mel.
Bye-bye, you too. Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America first company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. We have here on this show for now many years really tried to focus on not only the child trafficking and child sex trafficking issue, also people that are roped into the world of trafficking for any number of reasons. We have the open border. We have an international situation. We also have women that get trafficked into the sex industry. It is a giant problem. Luckily, people are now talking about it on the front lines, but there are people behind the scenes who've been doing this for a very long time and have been fighting it. And I have one of those people here with me today. Carlos Arellano is here, and he's going, I have trouble pronouncing him sometimes, but he is going to tell you a little bit about him and his background. And then we're going to get into what he's seen on the front lines of trafficking, human trafficking, child trafficking, and basically what you should be looking out for and can do. Thank you for joining me, Carlos.
No, thank you for having me, Mel. It's my pleasure to be here. And just to share a little bit about my background is, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the middle of the night flights that were on the news. So you are. Yeah, those were on the news last, forget when it was. It's such a blur to me. But I used to be a staff member on those planes, and I was not on that specific flight, but I had been on flights before to the upper side of New York many times before that trip. And my job was to escort on unaccompanied minors who were coming here seeking asylum from out of the country. And my job was to get them from point A to point B. And for example, that New York flight that was on the news, that was about 300 kids. Those 300 kids would start off in the upper state of New York, and then they would get on charter buses and go south. So stop in New York City, stop in Boston, stop in Philadelphia, stop in Pittsburgh. And then the buses would come back up north to the charter planes and then head back to Texas and do it all over again. Oh my God. I did that. And then I had a situation where the company that I worked for doing that admitted in an email to handing off kits to the wrong people. And it was kind of like a thing that was brushed, like, oh, we just handed off kits, ton of kits to the wrong people. Let's not do it again. Okay, it's over with. Yeah, it was terrible. And that kind of made me really sick to still do the same job. So I stopped and I ended up getting a call from the city of New York telling me that they were going to open up the largest migrant hotel in New York City that houses 5,000 people. Right. And they wanted people with experience to go up there to work those hotels. And they offered me a lot of money. They offered me a free hotel in Times Square. They offered me per diem for food. And I ended up going. And I kind of, that situation got out of hand so quickly where people were getting violent. As we can all see, you know, the news in New York is, it's getting out of hand there. It's really bad. And I was the one who went on the news and said, it's coming. I mean, it's going to get worse. And Mayor Adams doesn't know what he's doing. And it's funny because right after that interview with Savannah Hernandez, right after that interview, the Mayor Adams called me a liar and just said everything that I went on the record was false, that the security was great, that the migrants were really... Yeah, that the migrants were really nice people, that no one was going to get violent. But I don't know if you saw this, Mel, like 2 weeks ago, a couple of migrants that were staying at a, I think in Brooklyn, killed somebody through glass doors. They shoved the person. Yeah, they shoved the local through the glass doors and he suffocated and he passed away. So...
What I did see, you know, I just moved 2 weeks ago from New York City, but I lived right near the Roosevelt Hotel where you were. And what I did know, and we went over there and we looked around, what was weird was that it was a lot of single men that looked like they were probably under 25. There was a lot of children and there were a lot of pregnant women. And I'm walking, it just, and nobody seemed to have anything to do and there weren't any rules. So it really was shocking to see that there was no, it just seemed, cause we had seen it. I have to tell you when you were on those flights. So we're talking about a year ago, maybe still during COVID, I would see these buses show up, but they showed up at Port Authority and then they'd go to the archdiocese, the Catholic archdiocese, where they would wait in line and you'd be like, what are they? And then it became clear to my people in my neighborhood that they were immigrants coming in, waiting online. The archdiocese was giving them, I believe, food cards, temporary Medicaid, temporary housing, vouchers, all kinds of stuff. And they were just bringing them in and then bringing them out and bringing them in. And the thing was that there was a tremendous amount of children and you were dealing with that. So tell me a little bit about your experience with these children, especially the unaccompanied minors. Are these children, do they know what's going on? Are they owned by some? I mean, what is the process that you saw happening with the kids especially?
Well, I had been doing this for a while, and it's total different things now. With this current administration, what you're seeing is a lot of kids don't know who it is, who they're going to. They tell you things like, they're telling me that the person I'm going to is my uncle, but I've never met him. I've been in this system for a year. And last time I saw my sibling was at a different shelter in Chicago, and we haven't seen each other since then.
Oh, wow. I never even think about that. They're separating brothers and sisters, too. You must have seen a lot of that.
Yeah, many times kids asking you, can you help me find my sibling? And it's like, how do I even respond to that? You know, I'm just an escort. the amount. What people don't realize is they think what Governor Abbott is doing is something new, and they think what Governor Ron DeSantis is doing is something new. But this has been going on way before. It's just more on the news now. It's on the buses. But these flights have not only been children, they've been adults as well. And they've been going on for about 4 or 5 years now.
And now let me ask you, how did you get into this? How did you start doing that? Was it through a non-government organization, or how did you get recruited into being an escort to fly these people all around the country?
Yeah, it's through non-NGOs. And what it is these NGOs really only exist on the border. So I live 20 minutes, not 20 minutes, I'm like 15 minutes from the border to Mexico. So down here, you either make minimum wage you work federal jobs, and in the federal jobs it's crazy money because the government throws out insane amounts of money for this. For example, there's a posting to be a janitor at a federal facility with immigrants to be a custodian for $30 an hour.
Wow.
That's just to be a custodian. It's $30 an hour. And I've never seen that. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen, you know, to be a custodian is $30 an hour. And you grow up here, and it's smart for them, because a lot of people on the border are very disconnected from the rest of the world. You know, you talk to people here and they have no idea who. They have no idea, they have no idea who the Daily Wire is. They have no idea about Turning Point. They have no idea about, the internet, pretty much, because it's a it's a disconnected area. The border is very, it lives in its own bubble. And I would tell people, like they'd ask me now, you know, like, hey, what are you up to? I say, I'm about to do an interview with so-and-so. And they look at me like, you're weird. Like, who is that? But
good for you. Good for you. You know, this is how we get stuff out. But I gotta ask you this, because I have dealt with a lot of survivors of sex trafficking, child trafficking, human trafficking in general. You've dealt with a lot of these children, and they, from what I can see and everything, I can see why they do trust you and they feel safe with you. Are these children that you've dealt with and you've taken on flights to New York and elsewhere, are any of them suffering? Are you finding, because, you know, that the lie is that what's going on at the border is humanitarian, you know, that they're caring for these people and this and that. But when I talked to Tara Rodas, who is one of many people that have been brave enough like you to come out, she said that they're just like, they come in to the NGO or wherever, the Catholic Charities, UN, whatever, and that they want to process these kids as fast as possible and get them out and onto a plane and to you to then traffic wherever they're going as fast as possible. So what has your experience been with the actual children?
So when I first started, there was a lot of gratitude from the children, a lot of excitement saying, I'm here, I made it through, I'm so glad that they're giving me a chance. And lately, this year, because I was still involved in it this year and the end of last year, it's anger, it's more aggressiveness, it's more the bad outweighs the good. I'm not saying there's not good people, I'm trying to say there's good out there, but it's so bad right now that the bad people outweigh the good. And you get a lot of even children who tell you, you're supposed to give me what I want. And if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to tell my lawyer, because lawyers will visit these facilities, lawyers from DC, lawyers from New York. They make the trip out to New York or to Texas, and they talk to these kids and they tell these kids, if they try to make you do anything you don't want to do, tell us, because we can sue them and we can get you your we can get you your green card, we can get you your papers. But the kids will take it out of hand and they'll think we have the upper hand on them. And if we don't want to, if we don't want to go to class, like, because they'll have teachers at these facilities, the kids think, oh, they try to force me to go to class or they try to force me to eat, I can tell my lawyer. So these kids will turn around and tell you, if you don't leave me alone, you don't let me do what I want to do, you don't give me what I want, I'm going to tell my lawyer that you were touching me sexually. They make these outrageous claims. So anybody watching, you get a chance to work any of these immigration jobs, I would suggest that you think it twice, because they're going to listen to them before they listen to you when it comes to an allegation.
Right.
And you can end up in handcuffs pretty quickly for upsetting a child, a 12-year-old child who wanted to sit next to a 12-year-old girl, but you didn't let them because you're not supposed to let them start messing around with each other. And the little boy got mad and he'll call somebody and say that you were touching him sexually. So the money's great and all, but the environment in these facilities is very toxic. It's very, you're on edge. You're on edge of, am I going to get fired today? Is today going to be a good day, or am I going to get new threats? So
this is very scary. What you're saying right now, because you just brought up, because I can picture it in my head, like a 12-year-old girl, and we're talking about children all the way, like the toddlers that are coming through, because I saw them in around the Roosevelt Hotel. There was a ton of children and really young moms and a lot of pregnant women, at least at that area on the east side of Manhattan. And all the men were super young. I mean, some of them look like, a lot of them look like they were like 18, 19, 20 years old. But the one thing, though, that you're saying that's really important is that they're not safe either. The girls that are there, especially young women, young boys, too, but they can be attacked by other illegals that are coming through. And I'm hearing this more and more, that there's more and more aggressive and more what seem to be gang members, and that they're not really coming from Mexico. They're coming from all over the world and they're coming through maybe. But is there a lot of violence and sexual assault and stuff within these facilities that people don't know about? Are you seeing that?
Oh, it was an everyday thing. My job was to deal with those type of situations, and everything from hitting, from couples hitting each other, from people fighting, sexual abuse, everything. And that's one of the things that I spoke out about my time in New York City. But I just want to clarify something. So the Roosevelt Hotel, it's been on the news because it's sort of an intake center. They do have people staying there, but it's also the processing center to send people to the rest of the state of New York.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't know why everyone was outside. When I went to check it out, I didn't realize that it was that they weren't staying there. I thought that, because I thought, why are they all outside? They all have rooms and it was hot. And I thought, oh, so that makes more sense. So that's a first stop.
So they do have people staying there, but they also, it's also sort of a first stop. Port Authority bus terminal, it's a first stop, but it's so packed there that they're sending people to the Roosevelt to help out with intake.
Wow.
And all the new people that are arriving at the Roosevelt, they're all being sent to the rest of the state of New York. They're not staying in New York City because there's no more space, there's no more money. So one thing that's not being talked about is the money's not there anymore. What Mayor Adams is saying is true, is a lot of these hotels that are left, they're charging more to rent out their hotels than what's already being charged. So the hotels are seeing that they can take advantage of the situation as well.
Yep.
So instead of paying $50 million for a hotel, the hotel is charging the city of New York $100 million.
Right.
And
yeah, we heard that.
And yeah, so it's just getting so out of hand in New York City that it's going to get, in my opinion, New York City is lost. It's not going to get any better.
No, and you hear now they want to go build tent cities in next to Creedmoor. Yeah. I heard that they're scoping out places even in Central Park to do this intensity. Yeah. This doesn't help anyone. Now, a lot of these, also these children, they're going to end up going into the schools where they're going to. And a lot of them, I heard, a lot of them are somewhat illiterate in their own language, but most of them don't speak English, right?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked this. The language barrier is a thing, but here's the other issue is that people don't realize these kids come from a culture where they don't go to school. And
right.
A lot of the times the kids will tell you, so the shelters in Texas have teachers and they will have classes every day. They'll have about reading, math, social studies, English class from Monday to Friday. And they tell these kids, when you leave this shelter and you go with your sponsor, you're going to have to enroll in school. So you have to get used to school now. That way, wherever it is you end up, you already know what to expect. And these kids will tell you, in my country, I never went to school. What makes you guys think I'm going to go to school 8 hours a day here? These kids don't want the school. They don't want it. And it's not that, I don't know how to say it, but it's just where they come from is they don't have the laws that the United States has with, you know, like truancy, with no child left behind, with children have to go to school. They don't have any of that. So you try to tell them that you have to go to school and they take it in an offensive way. They get upset. They think you're calling them stupid. They think you're trying to tell them that they need school 8 hours a day because they don't know any better. And they don't want it. They don't want it. They try to tell them if you don't go to school, you know, that they're going to come looking for you to see where you're at. And the kids will tell you, I'll just run away. I'll just run away to the next place. And you're not going to make me go to school. They don't want any of that. So
the scary part is what you said before is probably going to happen. What happened to you, which is then when they do go to school, they have these lawyers that are telling them, and I know these groups, these are the globalist billionaires, the UN, some open society. Some of these people are paying for these legal funds. I saw all the lawyers involved with that small case in Martha's Vineyard. But so then when they go into these schools, do you have a feeling that what was happening to you with the kids in the shelters, like that story you told about the young boy that wanted to be near the girl and said, I'll just say that you molested me. So they're going to go into public schools in New York, I mean, not all over the country. And those teachers will be in that position too. They will be in the position that these kids are already have been processed and told that they can sue people to help their case go faster or whatever. So what is that going to look like when they start school in September?
Oh, exactly. Exactly what you just said is they're going to deal with the same thing that I did is false threats, false accusations. These kids, they may be 12, they may be 10, they may be 9, but they got the mentality of a 20-year-old because of what they've been through, you know, the journey they went through. And the no supervision, wherever it is they came right. from,
yeah,
they're little, but their minds are advanced, and they think. You may think that they're at the end of the day, children are always, you know, they're innocent. They don't know any better, but